Yo, what's up, guys? CJ Jones here. This is episode 21 of Inside My Mind. On today's episode, I got my homie Brian Divisions in here. Him and I have a song coming out on the 20th called Touch the Sun, so I wanted to get him in here, chat with him, and talk about that release as well as just what he's been up to. So in the meantime, right now I have his song Let Go about to play for you, just so you can get a quick idea of who he is and what he's about. So once again, this is Brian Divisions with Let Go, interview to follow. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Yeah, these dramas and burdens have kept my soul hurting. I'm searching for ways to make this life start working. Purging what keeps me from growing. Knowing I should let go of these old energies that I've been holding. Never going back to what didn't work. Or should I suffer and hurt in this place where all my demons lurk? Gotta search through my soul and discern. Transcend all my shadows and darkness so I can learn that it's time to turn to a new direction I'm protecting. My soul at its deepest levels from devils who are affecting. I'm reflecting, like through my vision and intention. Focused on energies that I'm accepting. Direct my discretion. Cause I only resonate with light. Bring knowledge of the day forward to the night. Gotta keep a dream in sight. And sometimes life ain't seeming right. So I'm staying focused and I know that I'ma keep this dream alive. I just have to let go. Yeah, let go, let go. I might need to let go. Yeah, let go, let go. Leave it behind for someone else to find. I don't need this pressure weighing on my mind. All of this doubt is just too much to hold. I have to be strong and finally let go. It's leaving right in front of my eyes. This wasn't reality, just the life that's been in the skies. I felt my demise, I felt the divide. My ego died, didn't survive. Nowhere to hide, confronted with lies. I feel where I am when I see I'm not worthless. The one inside who truly knows he has a purpose. Transcending the moments, he's feeling nervous. Tapped into the fire, his spirit's furnace. He's truly learned this could be the way. The way out of suffering, the deepest truth of his life he's discovering. After many nights wondering if his ideas will take light and start coloring life in new ways that exist in the spirit filled with compassion. He might be getting near it, persistent with passion to reach his new path aloud when all these changes to forever last. Yeah, he just has to let go. Yeah, let go, let go. He might need to let go. Yeah, let go, let go. Leave it behind for someone else to find. I don't need this pressure weighing on my mind. All of this doubt is just too much to hold. I have to be strong and finally let go.
You don't have to be stuck.
I just have to let go.
Where you think you're stuck.
Yeah.
Not when you let it dissolve like this. Not when you trust the unseen.
I just have to let go.
Never ask. Yeah. How do I do this?
And now I see what's been holding me back. Living in the past, unable to bask in the present, cause presence I lack. Thought I knew the facts, then life crashed. Happened so fast, fell through the cracks and didn't know where I was at. Trapped in my thoughts, reality was breaking down. I watched it all rot as it retreated back into the ground. Believed it was my fault that my foundation wasn't sound. And now truly I've been taught, there's a message to be found. Leave it behind for someone else to find. I don't need this pressure weighing on my mind. All of this doubt is just too much to hold. I have to be strong and finally let go. I just have to let go. Yeah, let go, let go. I might need to let go. Yeah, let go, let go.
Cool. All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Inside My Mind with CJ Jones. We are on episode 21 right now with my homie Brian Division. Say what's up to him, man.
Yo, yo, what's good? 21, man, that's a good number. I feel young again.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right. So this is cool. We are doing this because you and I have a song coming out in 6 days, so Friday the 20th, we have a new feature. And this is kind of cool because, in my opinion, this has been coming for probably 3, maybe 4 years now, depending on when I initially came across you on Steemit. Do you remember that website? I don't even know if you still use that anymore.
Oh, Steemit?
Yeah.
Bro, seldomly, man. That thing, it was popping when we met on there, but it kind of, you know, kind of went a little down.
Yeah, there was like a heyday on Steemit for a solid year to a year and a half where like things were going wild on there.
Yeah, yeah. So if anyone doesn't know about Steemit, it's a blockchain-based website that actually pays, it's basically a social network that pays its users in cryptocurrency. And you would basically make blog posts, you could put images up, video, audio, and based on the votes, kind of like Reddit style, you'd actually get cryptocurrency, which you can then trade for like Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever, and then cash out to USD. And yeah, man, we were on that when that thing was popping, dude. Like when DTube came out.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like just attempting to explain to someone that doesn't know anything about that website that like, all right, I would post a YouTube video and potentially make $100 in a week. They'd be like, well, is it real? Like, what? Like, I tried to get so many people to sign up for that and, like, would literally show them the deposits into my bank account. Like, listen, I'm not, like, trying to sell you snake oil. This literally, I'm getting deposits from them. It's actual real money. Like, I don't know. I've never messed with that. It doesn't sound real to me. Like, what are you doing, dude? I tried and tried to get so many people to sign up for that to just no luck.
Yeah, it's weird because it's, like, it was so legit, but since it's, you know, new technology and stuff, it's like, as we're talking about, it almost sounds like, you know, it was like an MLM or some network marketing or something. Like, yeah, man, sign up on this site, man, you can make some money. And I'm like, no, it's like legit, man. There would be times I'd make a performance rap video and I made like $200, dude, like because of how it's the money's trading. And I was like, oh, that was like the coolest like 3 months ever.
Yeah,
that was dope.
Yeah, dude, like I said, just cashed in on that. And I had one dude like legitimately get angry with me because he thought, because he was actually in the crypto world, and he's like, nah, man, I know how these websites work. You're just trying to get me to sign up because you get some referral code and you'll get money from me. I'm like, no, dude, like, I just know that you're always on Twitter. You're always on Facebook. Why not just do something with this? It was so funny just the amount of frustrations people had before even attempting to use it. So I'm like, whatever, I guess. I'm trying to spread this wealth right now.
Yeah. Well, man, we were there. We were there during the heyday. Now we're back on the grind, you know, pushing the Spotify and Apple Music and all that, man. So I'm stoked for Touch the Sun, bro. This track is nice, man.
Yeah, dude, this is really cool. So our new single, Touch the Sun, drops next Friday on the 20th. I'm really excited about it. You were one of the first people I've collaborated with who is actively mixing and mastering your own stuff similarly to me. So you actually had some positive feedback on the mixing process, whereas normally I'll send an artist a track that cool dude sounds dope, and that's the only feedback I get. So it was cool working with you because you're actually like, actually, man, the EQ on this, and like you knew what you were talking about, and working together back and forth on that, I feel like we got a better product than if it was just me left to my own devices.
Oh, dude, appreciate it, man. Yeah, that's what it's about, dude. Like, even before I rapped, man, I just, I was in a band and I would record with my music and like I would learn from like the producers I was working with. And, you know, my buddy was actually using Logic back in the day. Yeah, and yeah, really got to just see like, yo, like all of these little just different like techniques and tools. And that's like the best way to learn, you know, is like sharing stuff with each other and watching other people do stuff. And man, I just appreciate you being open too, because that's how it works, you know, when we can kind of shoot ideas back and forth and make the song even better and make that mix hit a little bit harder. So it's just more clarity, just more impact. Like, sounds good, man.
Yeah. It's always hard going back and forth. And like, because you and I are essentially strangers. Like, we've been in contact for the past 3 or more years. So, like, we do have some sort of foundation of knowing each other, but for the most part, like, we've never met in real life. This is the first time we've had any sort of, like, face-to-face type communication. So, it's always hard giving feedback to someone just through written words online and wondering how they're going to process that on their end, like, what tone of voice they're going to read that in and be like, you know, dude, fuck you, you're off the song now, actually, because I don't need you critiquing me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like that's exactly what I don't want to happen. And that's why it's cool too, man. Just, you know, especially the kind of lane we're in with more positive music is just embodying that and being compassionate with how we communicate. And I mean, dude, sometimes, you know, you could show, you've probably been like this before, but you maybe show someone something and the first thing that comes out of their mouth, they're just ripping on it. And like, bro, at least tell me what you like about it first before you just like stab me in the heart, you know, like, whoa. So it's just like ways to just frame how we communicate.
Like, tell me how I can make this better rather than just shooting it down. Like, oh, this sucks. Like, all right, well, like, what specifically about it sucks? Give me something to work
with. No, just put it in the dirt, bury it, cover it up, never go back to it. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Or I've had people I'd shoot a project off, like, they're all down to collaborate. They'll listen to my music, like, yeah, man, I really like what you're doing. Just send me something. And I'll send them something, just hear crickets. Or, like, I heard one guy tell me, like, yeah, I just couldn't really catch a vibe with it. And I'm like, just tell me what you mean. Like, do you just hate the song? Like, I don't know. One guy said he couldn't catch the beat. I'm like, a beat is a beat. Like, the snare falls where it falls. The beat is the beat. What do you mean you couldn't catch the beat? Like, do you just hate it?
Yeah.
Like, be transparent with
me. Yeah, it's very wild in this world. Because, I mean, you know, music is so, so, so subjective. And I know, like, you know, along the lines of what we got to do as independent artists is like we're consistently and constantly reaching out to like third parties, whether it's like someone who owns a playlist or someone who has a blog or, you know, someone who could help spread our message. And I mean, man, sometimes it goes super well and they resonate and it's a perfect match. And they're like, yeah, man, let me share your stuff. And other times it's just like, bro, like, why would you even message me? And it's just like, you kind of got to deal like with like anything, yeah, yeah. You know, just because you know, you know, it's like you do your best to try to reach out to people that you think would actually like what it is that you made. But I mean, like it is, it's just so subjective, you know, like you, they could just think it's the biggest piece of trash, but yet you got tons of people that actually like it. And that's just kind of the way of this whole game, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I feel like we live in a kind of weird time. There's unlimited possibilities. You can go on YouTube right now and type in rap instrumentals and get a million results, all different. So, like, it's both a strength and a weakness that you and I produce our own stuff. Like, when I make a song, it's all me from the ground up. So I kind of know what vision I'm looking for. So the idea of me sending that off to someone, knowing that they could browse through literally 1,000 different YouTube beats today, and just hoping, crossing my fingers that like the thing I just sent them is something they like. It's like, what are the odds that it would click, you
know?
Yeah,
totally. But like you said, like the strength part of that is totally like creating your own style, your own flow, your own brand. And what I like about your stuff and also this track, man, is like the acoustic guitar that carries that melody throughout with like, you know, your hip hop beat behind it. I mean, like, dude, that is just what I love about it so much is like the organic aspect of it, you know, because often with, yeah,
that's
man.
A good word to use, organic, because that's kind of, that's how I would describe that track.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I love using synths and I, you know, I mean, most of my music, I use synthesizers and pianos and all that, you know, I got an MPK right in front of me, but man, dude, when you have a guitar, there's like nothing like a guitar. You know, a guitar evokes like a certain part of your soul. Just that's just the way it is, especially when you've got really good chord and note progressions. And that, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why I really resonate with your stuff, being a singer songwriter, bringing that into rap. And like, that's what I'm saying. There's like those audiences that eventually, you know, it takes time for like the mass, the critical mass to hit, you know, because you might have this fan over here, this fan over there, this fan over there. And then eventually it gets to the point where like, oh, yo, this guy's got his own subgenre of music. Just him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what you got to
do. Well, that's the same with you. Like anytime I hear your tracks, they have a very distinct like Brian Division sound to them that I'm not hearing elsewhere. And it just gets frustrating to me seeing these people release stuff on SoundCloud looking for like the next wave, or just, I want to sound like X, I want to sound like Z, I want to, you know what I mean? Like they set out to capture someone else's sound and they'll laugh at me like, oh, dude, you don't sound like, I remember there was a Kid Cudi song and in the intro of the song, he's like, man, people always ask me like, hey, man, why your shit doesn't sound like anyone else? Like, that's a bad thing. And I'm like, why not? And that always resonated with me. Like, yeah, dude, he was on his own wave. He was just not caring what everyone around him was sounding like. And then he drops Man on the Moon and explodes.
Yeah, it's a matter of looking at the long game versus the short game, you know? Instead of just riding the trends and just trying to be hot today and like get the social value and the social proof, you know, we're looking at like, okay, let's build something that's like new in the world. Let's build something that's, you know, unique so that, you know, 10 years from now, we can look back and be like, yo, look at the progression of this and look at what it turned into versus like, let's just follow the mold. And a lot of that comes through too with I think our lyrics and our inspiration for the lyrics and like the idea of motivating people and inspiring people, because it really is about being authentic and being yourself, you know? So how can you be yourself when you're just trying to play on trends and copycat what the next, you know, the guy who just blew up yesterday on SoundCloud is doing?
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta be you, and you know what I mean? Like, not be dependent on external stimulus to feel validated and feel secure within yourself. Just, you know, the expression is where it's at.
Exactly. And to me, I feel there's a certain point where if you're kind of doing your own thing, you have the ability to create something that's timeless. Even as egotistical as that sounds, I don't mean like my music is timeless. But when you create something that's your own, it doesn't have that stamp on it. Like, oh, that sounds like everything made from 2003 to 2006. You know, like the Snap Rap, they all have that. Like the D4L and all those other guys, they just have a very distinct sound that was present in that 4-year window and never again. Whereas when you're on your own wave, you might look back at your song in 10 years and be like, you know what, this kind of still holds up. This doesn't have that dated sound to it because it didn't really affiliate itself with everything else that was coming out during that time frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And it's really good to be you know, observant of what's going on and what is happening. And that's the thing, like, we, you know, as creators, we're inspired by pretty much everything we've ever experienced, you know? So, you know, for me to be say like, oh, my stuff is so unique and there's nothing like it. Well, I can tell you a bunch of influences I've had, which have all come together to make this thing as unique. And that's like the truth. And even now, you know what I mean? If new artists come out now, I'll take some time out of the year. You know, I honestly don't listen to a whole lot of random new music. You know, if something comes to me and I like it, I vibe with it and I'll listen. But, you know, there are times where I'll just like, all right, let me check out some of these artists that have been popping. And I'll hear kind of like what's going on in the world and stuff. And if I really resonate with something, it might influence me or inspire, you know, something, you know. But it's usually, in my case, it's like maybe I heard a song one day that hit me so hard. And I'm like, yo, I just love that beat. And it could have been the instrument that they used, or it could have been, you know, just the sound, just the frequency of it. And I'm like, man, I want to like kind of capture that energy in my own way. And I mean, like, dude, I've had, you know, my song Illuminate, I had that influenced by like essentially a flute in a whistle I heard in a song like 10 years ago. And it just like, it always stuck in my head. So when I was writing that song, I'm like, I was being honest. I'm like, this kind of sounds similar to that. The same reason I like that song is why I like this. So let me build on that. So, I mean, being able to like, recognize, okay, we are influenced by other stuff, but it's cool when you like make something brand new and you bring multiple influences into it versus like, okay, you know, Lil Peep's popping off. Okay, I want to be Lil Peep 2.0, you know, like I want to do the exact same thing he's doing and the same, you know, the same guitar beats and the same singing style and the same lyrical content. And like, man, it's worse though, man, with the some of the industry plans that some of the record labels make where they combine like,
there's
some dudes out, like this dude came out last year, but they pretty much combine like X and like Lil Peep and like some of these other newer artists into like this one artist that was obviously like, you know, he had like one song and they just like blew him up from that one song. And like, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people like it because they're, you know, they're the, you know, they're kids and they resonate with that style. But will that artist be here like 10 years? I would put my money on no.
Maybe, you know? This is a sad topic, but maybe not even literally with like recent news that's happened. Like, they might not be relevant or they might not be alive because that is a fucking epidemic. And I don't know how to go about fixing that. Like, it's easy. You know what I mean? Like, with the Juice WRLDs, or like you mentioned Lil Peep several times, or X, like all these young artists, and I don't know, just the promotion of that. That's another reason why I just like being positive and trying to be authentic, rather than like, oh, well, Zans are in right now, Perks are in right now, we got to rap about that, we got to rap about Purple Drink, you know what I mean? And it just always ends the same way, as much as I hate to say it. Even with dudes like Mac Miller, who I was a huge fan of, looking back at his music, I can't necessarily be surprised that that's the fate that he encountered. Man, because there's just all these little sprinklings of foreshadowing along the way.
Yeah, it goes deep, man. I read something about Juice WRLD the other day where he talked about, I think this is when he basically said he quit Lean earlier this year. But he basically referenced how he kind of learned about that stuff from like Future's music. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that interview where he's like, man, all my heroes sing about this and do this. It makes me want to try.
Yeah, you know? And so, you know, the responsibility is definitely on the older generation, you know? I mean, it's pretty much on anyone that puts out anything in the world. But, you know, you can't really hold someone who's like 20 that responsible, because they're still, you know, they're still young and they're still trying to figure it all out. But, I mean, yeah, man, when you've got like a grown man making music, making money, talking about, you know, doing Molly, doing Percocets, doing Xanax, and glorifying it. And I mean, like, dude, what do you expect? We have a society where people are so lonely because we're not shown how to emotionally connect with other people in like a very natural manner. So everything is a charade, everything is a mask. So then people end up doing these things like Xanax and Percs and all that, because they're trying to fit in with the other kids and with the societal point of view of what's cool. And then they obviously get addicted to it because they have an emotional void, because we're all brought up in these realities where like things really are so far from nature that we're just like, I mean, you know what I mean? We're just so far gone and we're looking for some type of fulfillment. So you take a young kid who's hooked on Xanax or gets, you know, on Perks and gets on Oxys, and then they can't find that stuff, and then it's just super quick to get into heroin, and then you're doing heroin now, and then you got a bad batch of heroin with like fentanyl in it, and you're out. And it happens every single day, multiple times a day. And you know what I mean, it really is the responsibility of like the content creators, like the musicians who are up there making millions of dollars, who are rapping about this stuff, are directly contributing to this whole epidemic. And I mean, it sucks, dude. You know what I mean? It's wild, you know?
Yeah. Well, because like, it's all the things that initially drew me into music. Like when I was young and I was depressed and like feeling sad, music made me feel better. So I can recognize why these kids are attaching themselves to this. Like, say you are 14 in school and you're going through a hard time, you're depressed, you don't feel like you belong anywhere, and you listen to these musicians that you resonate with and like, damn, they make me feel better. What do they always talk about? Oh, well, they say when they're in a bad mood, they take pills. Like, maybe I should take pills. Maybe that'll help with my bad mood because my hero does that. That's how he copes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how I can cope. And it just never addresses this underlying issue with like the depression and, like you said, just the loss of connectivity amongst people. And I don't necessarily know what's to blame for that, because I felt that, I mean, it's easy to point at like social media, be like, oh, well, Facebook's the reason people aren't connected. But I mean, I remember being in junior high and high school and feeling like I didn't really fit in or didn't have anyone to confide with. And that was long before the internet had taken over. So I feel like this is something that has existed, just the shareability of it now is on such a grand scale that I don't know. And even on the artists, like I look back at some of my songs, like I did a song, I don't know if you've heard, called Another Round. And it's basically kind of talking about me when I was younger and my unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And it was not necessarily a promotion of drinking. It was almost like a sarcastic look at like, oh, anytime life was hard, I would just pour another round. That's kind of how I would fix things. So like I said, it wasn't really a promotion of that, but I could also see how someone might hear that and be like, oh yeah, I'm depressed, I want to drink. Mm-hmm. So it's like, damn, dude, I'm doing this too, to a certain extent. And it's easy to do because mm-hmm. like a life relatability thing, like I want to write a song about when I was depressed and what I did about it. And it just happens to be the case that the new generation is like pills are the way.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, like you said, it's just been a thing within mankind, man. It's part of our growth and like our expansion of consciousness, because this is definitely here way before the internet. It's just like you said, the internet has magnified it and shown us, yeah, this is like super serious. I mean, so much of it, man, has to go. When I think about something, you know, deep like this, I think about its relationship to love, you know, because let's just think about an ideal world where people are freely loving. You know, they love themselves, they love their neighbors, they love their families, they show compassion, they have empathy. They're working towards, you know, helping everybody, you know, so every action I take, it can further me, but it must further everybody around me. It must not harm anyone. I mean, simple enough when we think about it, but I mean, we think about where we've come from with a schism of beliefs through religions and through using violence and anger as the primary mode of making change and taking action, you know, for the last several millennia. You know, we're in a society now where it's like you take all of those really primitive and biological driven behaviors and you put them into like nuclear families and small towns and suburbs in America. And it's just like now we're living in like a completely different reality, you know, thinking like 50s and stuff. And now all these people are supposed to just like, you know, it's like on the outside looking in, it's just like, okay, everything's nice and neat. You have your family and all that. But within that, you still have those anger issues, those controlling issues, those codependent issues, the lack of self-worth, the lack of self-love, all that stuff that we've experienced as humans forever, you know? So, and now it just magnifies where it gets to the point where like, okay, depending on where you are, you know, it could be alcoholism, it could be crack if you were in New York in the 80s, it could be heroin if you're like a young person now in the suburbs. Like all that stuff is because we haven't been shown, because our parents certainly didn't do it, their parents didn't certainly do it, about how to just be open-hearted and connect and just express love and express connection. I mean, dude, it's like you think one generation up, two generations up, you know, I'm not sure like how your parents grew up, but mine grew up like just super shitty circumstances, you know, especially like the relationships with their parents and stuff. It's like this, there's no way a conversation like this hardly ever happened in society, you know what I mean? Beyond maybe just like a closed door with like two people who like really confided with them each other. So, I mean, it's just like an awareness of emotional intelligence and acceptance of love for self and for the world without judgment and hatred towards the people who don't believe what you believe. I mean, that's super new for the world, dude. That's
which is funny because it sounds so simple. Like when you break it all down, you just kind of have that duh moment. It's like, well yeah, obviously, why wouldn't we just do things that way? But it's so rare that things are done that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, because when you break it down and lay out the whole argument, it seems like, oh, aha, we fixed it, you know. But humans still like cling on to that biological past of when we were less evolved and violence was the answer and frustration was the answer. If someone doesn't see the world the way you do it, you smack a stick.
Power,
and
yep.
Get angry with them. And it's like our brains have evolved. We can have logical, coherent conversations like the one you and I are having, but deep down there's some part of our brain that wants to resort to screaming and biting your enemy and
winning mode. And not losing, you know? Yeah, you're right, man. It's fight or flight. It's survival, you know? And in our society, the ones who see that, and you know, this is a very, something I just want to bring up, which I kind of started to discover a couple years ago, which I thought was fascinating, because, you know, we're clearly having this conversation because we're, you know, to some degree empathic and obviously, you know, can sense emotions and sense how other people are feeling. But that is a gradient in regards to the person, you know? I mean, some people, there's certain degrees of empathy that different humans possess. And I would even go as far as to say there are some humans that have zero empathy. And that is insanely hard for me to like process, yeah, because I feel like I'm like 1,000% empathic, where I'll put other people before me. And like, that's been like a challenge I've had to deal with. But then when you have someone who like is completely in survival mode and it's pretty much them against the world, I mean, they're going to do everything that they can to gain, yeah, power over those people, you know? And like, that's, you know, that's where it comes from, the reptilian brain of just dominance. And so we have, you know, several people in the world who just are extremely, extremely, extremely dominant because they are trying to be the number one in the world. So we've, you know, I mean, it's, and then you got everyone else who's just essentially like just trying to live. And it's kind of weird because there's no real means to control the people who are all about control. Because the other, you know, all of us, we're just trying to live our lives and have a good, happy life. Other people are like power, dominance, you know. So, you know, let's start a fucking war so that we can, you know, gain this control over this, yeah, government. Yeah. Like, dude, I'm just trying to give you a hug, man, you know. So it's a wild thing, man. And I think, you know, I don't know if there's any, even just us recognizing the idea of what would be better. I think part of, yeah, the human, like, experience is, you know, to, you know, we manifested these lives to be a part of a world where there all that is going on, to just slowly, gradually bring us up to a point where we can experience love on a full planet scale. And maybe we will not see that in our current lifetimes. Maybe it'll take another 1,000 years. I don't know. But at least it's inspiring us to go down this path. You know, it's an opposition of everything that we've seen in our media and in reality.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. That's beautiful. And it's hearing you say everything you just said, it's almost like the underlying core of like every major religion in the world is pretty much exactly what you just laid out. But even though all of them are on that same path, the fact that they disagree about the small details, that itself can cause conflict. So it's like, you and I are in total agreement. Like, well, yeah, obviously, love one another, treat each other better. We don't need this constant conflict. Most religions, when divided into their own individual cliques, like, all right, Christianity believes the same thing, Buddhism believes, we all are on this same track, but then the cross chatter occurs and like, wait, no, this is our guy. Even though your guy's saying the same thing our guy's saying, our guy's right, your guy's, yeah, wrong. What are you guys doing? Yeah. Let's go to war. Dude, like, what are we doing? Like, break down the actual conversation, yeah, that's occurring, and that's versus maybe where the conversation took place.
That's the biggest block, man. Because if we could all just say, all right, I believe this, but all right, let me preface it by saying, you know, I believe we're from all one source. So if we call that God, if we call it the universe, if we call it the infinite intelligence, the mind of the universe, of creation, whatever. However you look at it, all life, this entire universe, our planet, every single person on it, all the living things, the animals, the trees, all the insects, they're all from the same source of creation. So we have human beings, you know, 8 billion of us, and we all believe in a different version of that creator. Some of us don't believe in any creator at all. Whatever, that's cool too. But how do we not see that perhaps different versions or different ideas of that idea that we call God might be more applicable to one section of culture or society than another? And that maybe they're all experiencing their version of God in a way that suits them the best. And maybe that we're all talking about the same thing. So, you know, if this person's Christian and believes in Jesus Christ as their personal savior, why can someone not believe in like Krishna as their savior or as Muhammad being the prophet, yeah, for Allah? We're all talking about the same God. It's when we have to direct and say, well, I believe in Jesus and you have to too, because if you don't, then that doesn't validate my belief. We can't have both of them. Why not just, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just so ridiculous. Dude, we've had these religions for ever. How come we have not gotten to a point where we're just like, okay, some people really resonate with Jesus. Some people really resonate with Buddha. That's all cool. We have lives to live. So I don't really care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like I'm saying, it's like, what is the underlying message that's being spoken about? And I almost look at it, it's like when you look at the globe on a large scale, people from our part of the globe look differently than people from a different part of the globe. Our physical characteristics are different, and we speak a different language. If you're born in South Africa, you're not going to speak the same language as someone who's born in Sweden. Like, so obviously religion is going to have its little differences too. I kind of view the different religions of the world almost the way I view different languages of the world. It's like their interpretation of how this is all going. The message is overall about the same. It's just the way they interpret it, the way they express it is differently. No different than if we were speaking Spanish right now. The conversation would be essentially the same conversation. We would just be using a different means to get that conversation across. And it's just mind-blowing that that isn't more of an obvious thing that people can attach themselves to. Like I said, just the underlying message, why is that not the general focus versus the means of delivering?
I guess my theory is just that, you know, as human beings, you know, we really very much so like being a part of a group. We liked the idea of our beliefs being accepted. And I think it's probably an issue of wanting your belief to be accepted by the whole world. That's gotta be it, to feel like you're fitting in with the whole world. Because for example, me, like I was brought up Christian. I was raised Catholic specifically. And in high school, I started kind of getting out of it because I was like, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I'm seeing how people are like living, and I'm like, but you're just going to go to church every Sunday and like everything's cool now. I'm like, this is weird. And then so I ended up going to different different Christian churches and seeing, you know, different ways people believe stuff. And, you know, varying, very much like varying degrees of, I think the thing that pushed me away from it was like the belief of damnation of like, you know, like, or, you know, even like original sin, like you're born and you're a sinner. And I'm like, isn't that a choice? Like, if I'm just a good person, can't I just be a good person and not just be condemned to be like a piece of crap forever because I'm not worthy enough? So that's what kind of pushed me away from it. And then, you know, getting into my 20s, I started looking into more, you know, just different religions, seeing what was out there and checking more of the Eastern religions out and, you know, doing research into like Buddhism and Hinduism. And, you know, even looked into like, you know, Islam, and like, you know, I got friends that are Jewish too. So I'm just trying to like, you know, see what's the commonality between all of this, you know, I mean, what's the real focus? And my thing is, it's like the biggest problem with all religion is just that they want everyone else to believe what they believe. If they just said, all right, we're the Jews, we believe this. We're the Christians, we believe this. Oh, yeah. You guys, okay, you guys are Muslim. Oh, that's cool. Anything that you guys have that you could share with us that we might find value in, oh, that's cool. I mean, we're all like literally like worshiping the same God at the end of the day. It's either that or we're not, or we're just, you know, even if someone's atheist or agnostic, it's just like, oh, that's what you believe. That's the path you're on. Cool. It's just that everyone believes that they're the chosen one because they believe this. And now, dude, like, you know, I believe in universal consciousness. I believe that God is everything. God is you. God is me. It's just all life force. Like the spirit within me is a fractal of the energy of God. The infinite mind of God created this physical body and is jumped into it in this life, in this carnation. Now, guess what? I don't care if anyone else believes that. That's what works for me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to like not talk to someone because they're Christian or Jewish and be like, dude, if, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, if someone believes in the Abrahamic God, that's their thing. Why am I going to create an issue because we don't believe the same thing? I don't need anyone to validate my perspective of my life. Just like I don't need anyone to tell me like, oh, dude, well, you should wear your hair that way. And I'm like, well, this is the way I like to wear it. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's so simple. And yet we're all adults. And it's like, we're like little kids upset in a sandbox because, you know, we're trying to all have the biggest team or like the team that wins. Like this whole religion thing is, it's like a competition of like, what religion's going to win the entire world? Stay tuned.
Yeah. Tune in next week. Yeah. It's like, it all just goes back to that inherent human desire to be correct, to be right. And I feel like, because historically, if you were right, that would maybe put you in a leadership position. It's like that human ego to be like that alpha mentality, like, oh, my ideas are the best ideas, which is why I'm the chief of this tribe, or which is why I'm the ruler of this kingdom, because mm-hmm. my ideas trump your ideas. And it just always goes back to that, it seems like, just that simple human desire to mm-hmm. be correct, to be the alpha. But then if you look at cinema, for instance, or any classical story going back in history, the hero of the story is always the one who's going against the grain. Mm-hmm. It's always the one going against what everyone else around them is telling them. And everyone around them tells them that they're crazy, but they do what they feel is right, and they end up the hero of the story always. Even going back to biblically speaking, like Noah is the hero of that story because he went on his own path. Everyone's like, dude, why are you building mm-hmm. this boat? What are you doing? Like, this is insanity. I'm not going to build a boat. And turns out Noah is the hero of that story. He builds the boat. He survives. And people have a hard time recognizing that to be heroic in your own life, you do have to do your own thing. You can't conform with society. Yet we as society, most everyone you speak to, if you present the idea of like sheep, like, oh, following the crowd, just another sheep. Everyone recognizes that motif, but everyone also is quick to become one. You know what I mean? Like, you'll see on Facebook, especially during, like, political debates, like, oh, must be nice to just be a Democratic sheep and do what they say, or a Republican sheep, do what everyone else says. Meanwhile, the person throwing out that insult is typically a sheep in their own way. It's like people are just afraid to stand up for yeah. their own ideas, their own beliefs, their own personal mm-hmm. identity even. Because that's just yeah. not the way society is.
Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah, you'd get killed for that. I mean, like you just said, you mentioned the story of Noah, like story of Jesus. Jesus wasn't like, oh, yeah, everyone's like, yeah, that's a great yeah, idea, exactly. dude. That sounds great. Let's implement that like immediately. You know, and then like, boom, you know, it's just like, and I mean, he was one of many, you know, who were bringing new perspectives and new awareness to the pretty much the government. It's like the governments of these people when it comes down to control. And I guess that's kind of where it does kind of divvy up, because if, you know, I know within many of these religions, you've got some extremely open-hearted, giving people, caring people. Some of the issue comes in through the authority figures within the religion, since they are organizations, you know, and that's where
yes.
a lot of that energy comes from, about the divisive and then the antagonistic energy of this and that. And it might not be publicly shown, you know, but it's there. I mean, dude, even looking at like, you know, some of, you know, the breakaways, all the issues that, you know, the U.S. has had with Muslims. I mean, that's like, those are all like the hardcore breakoffs. Yeah, I mean, that's an extremely small percentage that broke off and have gone yeah. Almost like insane with their beliefs, and like they're completely intolerant of each other.
Well, they are like yeah, the Westboro yeah. Baptist version, and, like, you know what
it's
I mean?
Like, it's almost like a That'd very be, like, nationalist them to religious
all of Christianity.
Yeah, exactly, man. So, I mean, the majority of people are good people. You know, it's just, you've got some, all you need is that one person who just wants power, control, and dominance to fulfill a human desire of significance in their life, to just take it in that other way. And, you know, I just want to see, man. I mean, it's, you know, I think about like, okay, how do we get to that version of the world where, you know, it is love and it's more accepting and we're open? And honestly, man, it's got to be just like grassroots. You know, like one person at a time, those two people having a conversation about it, inspiring stuff into another person. I mean, because, dude, I mean, I'm sure you have a similar experience. But, man, in 2012, when I was becoming really aware about, you know, more about just the truth beyond just the physical reality of like this earth timeline that we're on, you know, just the fact that yo, I mean, like, there's so much going on in the universe, like, right now, beyond just this one little human existence, and be able to see the possibilities of anything happening, of expressing love through our being, and just being connected to everything. Like, back then, dude, there's, like, no way. I'm having conversations with two people, max, and we're, like, you know, I'd be in someone's house sitting, you know, alone, or we'd be like in an alley somewhere talking, or just shooting it, they're shooting up, chopping it up for like 5 minutes at work or something, you know what I mean? Here and there, like making sure no one hears us.
Yeah.
But now there's so much more information, and like people are like, oh, wait, other people like actually talk about this stuff or care about this stuff. I'm like, okay, that makes it a little bit easier for me to talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about, oh, you know, I believe in the spirit, and I don't believe that I have to be tied into a religion. And like, this is still super, super new, you know, and I think that's, you know, I mean,
yeah,
2020 is next year, man. I feel like a lot of magic's going to happen because, you know, I mean, we resonate with, you know, external things, and just knowing that the year is 2020, you know, I mean, there's just been so many ideas like 2020 vision, and just I think a lot more people are going to kind of embrace what they've been wanting to do. And then I think we're going to see like a nice, you know, we're not going to be like everything's changed, but I think it's be a nice little boop, a nice little upgrade, I think.
Well, I think it's people gradually been going uphill for like the past five or more years. And podcasting has got to be one of the culprits behind like the positive trajectory of things, because just listening to individuals speak and express their ideas. I don't know how long you've been into podcasts, but I've probably been listening for like 8 or more years now. And the thing that like was immediately intoxicating to me is hearing someone express their ideas and me having that aha moment in my mind, like, oh, dude, I thought I was the only psychopath on the planet who had thoughts like this, but they're confirming it now. And then the more you listen to, the more you realize, like, oh, all of us are pretty much the same. We all fear the same things. We all ponder and contemplate the same things. We have the same worries. And it's very comforting to have someone in your earbuds, like when you're at work or wherever you choose to listen. Maybe you're at the gym, who's like expressing these ideas that you always felt isolated in having. And it just brings that feeling of connectivity amongst people that wasn't necessarily present before. Like, you had early morning radio and stuff like that, but I don't feel like they ever took things to such an in-depth level as most podcasts do, because they have radio ads and sponsors, and maybe they just didn't think it was super interesting. I feel like it's a relatively new phenomenon that people do realize how captivating and interesting it is just to hear someone's perspective. Even if the topic of the podcast isn't even anything inherently interesting, you can still just get lost in a conversation just knowing that they're sharing a part of their brain with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, man, because I found actually kind of even before podcasts were a thing, probably, you know, maybe like 2009, 2010. I would often, you know, sometimes, you know, of course you want to listen to music, but I would often listen to either like seminars or like lectures or just like conversations, you know, that were recorded, you know, people kind of in more in the, like the personal development space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, you can get so like, just, you know, almost like in a trance like state, because you feel like you're really there in that room. And then all it takes, just like you said, is like, someone could say this one sentence and it completely just like it clicks something on for you. And like you said, it like says, oh yeah, like this idea that I had, wasn't this just tiny little small crazy idea, but no, this is, it kind of like validates it, you know, and it kind of confirms like, oh yeah, like this would be a good thing to take action
exactly.
on. Like, yeah, let me go do that. It, yeah, the long format, man, of podcasts is just amazing, man. Like, I will, you know, like I said, there's sometimes where I want to listen to music, but if I'm in a car ride and I have like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, dude, there's nothing better than putting on like a really good podcast on some area or some topic that I really want to just like dive into and just grow from, or just hear someone's perspective and like learn from, man. It's the best.
Yeah. Well, even for me, like a few of my friends have started podcasts now, and they like myself, have no real direction to take it, but even just hearing their perspective on things is fascinating. Like, for me, it doesn't even always have to be a specific topic I'm interested in. Obviously, that's a good starting point if you don't know where to search. But like I said, some of my friends have started little low-key podcasts like, hey, man, will you listen to episode one? I think this sucks. And then I listen to it. I'm like, dude, what do you mean you think this sucks? This is actually really cool. This was fascinating. Like, you just think it sucks because you're not feeding yourself new information. You're just regurgitating the same ideas that have been floating around in your own brain. It's not magic until someone else hears those ideas and relates to them. Because even me, with the very first episode I recorded, I listened back to it. I'm like, this is garbage. But I set out to do this. I guess I'll just release it. And then the feedback I got from people, they're like, oh, dude, when you said that one thing, I related so hard to that. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Did you guys listen to the same thing I listened to? Because I thought it was terrible. And you guys are giving me different feedback. So it's just the sharing and exchange of ideas is where the magic lies. Dude. And I don't know, it's just been overlooked for a long time. It's very slept on technology.
Well, dude, I'm glad you're doing it, man, because I've done a few podcasts, man, and I always love the opportunity because, you know, being able to just, you know, speak with someone and just, you know, get into the conversation, because it's so easy to just get, like, you know, busy with work and life and stuff. And it's good with these because it's like we can get deep and we can just have like a natural organic conversation. And like, I mean, like, dude, look what we hit. We hit some music. We hit some, got in some deep religious stuff, some mindset, some belief. All that, you know what I mean? Just that depth of that, man. It's just, dude, it's real.
Exactly. I love going unscripted on these because initially, like, we open up this conversation like, all right, we for sure got to talk about our new single that drops next Friday. And then before you know it, we just go on this giant roundabout curveball and the conversation lands in a completely different spot. But it's a ride, dude, everyone needs to take with us.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I think too, man, just seeing how it's all evolving, especially with like voice too, you know what I mean? Like, I'm telling you, next year, man, I think is going to be, you know, I can't make any predictions. That's not my lane. But I just feel like, you know, we're going to see at least something cool happen within more of a collective. Maybe it's some new technology that you're using, or maybe it's just some new mindset belief. I just feel like something good is coming, not just for the individual, but for, like, you know, everybody. That's my hope, man. Because we've, you know how collective. It is. We've been grinding in the old ways for a while, man. And I'm noticing more of these companies are coming out with electric cars. And I'm like, yes, dude, like, I'm starting to see some actual changes that are actually going to affect the environment and the planet, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing with me, I don't even know if you know, but I've been vegan for 5 years. So seeing the growth of that, is like insane, you know? Like, Burger King's got the Impossible Burger now. Like, there's so many places that are doing vegan options. And it's just epic, man. It's like, it cuts down on so many resources, dude. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, even Chipotle, like, 3 years ago dropped their, like, plant-based meat, and that was way ahead of its time. So when, like, large companies like that are getting on that bandwagon, just nothing but good.
Yeah, man, because the growth, like, you know, it's just like things take time to change externally, man. And, you know, especially me being kind of on this, you know, just kind of being aware and wanting things to change. I'll tell you a quick story, but like, I kind of got, you know, really during my whole spiritual awakening, it really was starting in like 2012 and probably like summer 2012. I actually had like a whole experience that happened, which I would really call like dark night of the soul, where just like everything was just crashing around me. And like, it was rough, but it allowed me to go really inside and internal. And I really was looking into the mind calendar stuff.
Is that around the time period you wrote Let Go?
No, but I would say that was like, Let Go was like 20, I think it was 2017. But dude, actually when I wrote that, I honestly still to this day, I have no idea why I was in such an angry emotional state, but I was visiting up in Maryland. You know, I live in North Carolina now, but I was up in Maryland with my parents. And I don't know, but you know, some days you just wake up and you're just in a really bad state. You know, you're in a bad mood. And, you know, a lot of that sometimes could just be like old energy coming up, just old thoughts, old traumas, suppressed stuff. But, you know, I mean, it probably, you know, just had to do with just like life and, you know, the struggle of life and just wanting to just, you know, do what I enjoy the most, but not being able to fully because of the need to make, you know, the finances happen. But man, when I wrote that song, I was just like channeling all that energy out. And it was like January of that year. And I just like took it all out in that song, dude. And it's cool to see where it's kind of went. But, you know, with 2012, man, I was really kind of thinking that when December 21st happened, I was honestly thinking like something external was going to change. Like we were going to have like 3 days of darkness or whatever. And that was going to force everybody into like their own subconscious and make them like acknowledge a lot of stuff. And turns out, I mean, like nothing changed. And that showed me that, oh, I get it. The real thing about 2012 and December 21st was that all of our thoughts and our ideas and assuming that it's going to be some external thing that shifts reality, really it's just showing us now that it's got to be an internal shift. And that was like, damn, that's crazy. So ever since then, man, I've just been working on, you know, just growing myself as a person, you know, not just with like music and like my music career, but, you know, also just, you know, offering more to the world, you know, running one of my other businesses, just being a better person. I mean, building my credit up, like literally every single area of your life, you know what I mean? Having a better relationship.
Yeah, just improvement in every way possible.
It's just cool to kind of see. It's really just been this year, honestly, for me, that I'm actually seeing like a whole new reality for myself, you know, which I've definitely worked really hard for. But I mean, it's all the stuff that I would talk about in my music from like, you know, 2015. I'm starting to see it in my life more and more now. You know, things manifesting, finances getting good, being out of like the struggle, you know, the whole idea of having, you know, not having enough month at the end of the money, as I think Tony Robbins says, you know what I mean? So like,
new
reality. It's almost like flip the side of the coin over, you know, I'm looking at, it's the same thing, but I'm on a different side, you know, and I've been able to make so much more music lately because I have a better work-life balance. I've been able to structure that. And it's just cool to see more of the reinforcement of a new reality also in the external world, not just mine, but like I said, with the electric cars and with more people, you know, going plant-based and seeing options around the world for that. And even seeing stuff like, okay, we're banning straws and we're trying to ban plastic. And I'm like, bro, let's do this, dude. Like, let's, you know what I mean? All these good ideas. Let's bring this new stuff. Let's get rid of the old stuff that doesn't work. Some of it's good, foundational, and it makes sense. But a lot of it is just all for profit and like unnecessary in a new reality. So I'm like, let's bring in the new reality. We need some new good music. We need good entertainment. We need good work. You know what I mean? We need to be just doing things that are like, that actually help build up the human being and build up the planet versus just take from it, you know?
Yeah.
Bars.
It's awesome, dude. Keep putting out that positive energy.
It's a track.
Anyway, we're about almost an hour into this, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up, dude. I appreciate you coming on here. And like I said, if you guys are listening right now, be sure and look out for our single Touch the Sun that drops on the 20th. Yes. It's going to be next Friday. And I'm excited for people to hear this and glad we finally got to work on something together because, like I said, this has been kind of coming together for like 3 years or more now between interacting with you online, interacting with your brother online, just kind of forming this kind of long distance friendship with you guys.
Yeah, man, you've always been like such a solid supporter, man. Yeah, when you sent me that track, I was like, yes, I got to get on this, bro. I'm like, it was like perfect time too.
Yeah.
I was like, the guitar got me, man.
Yeah, dude. I appreciate it, man. And like I said, if you guys have listened this far, be sure to check that out. And this was episode 21 with the homie Brian Divisions. I'll put a link to your music up so they can check some of that out, as well as letting one of your songs play during the intro of this. So,
Nice. Sounds good, brother. Thanks for having me on, man.
Likewise. Thanks for being on.
All right. Much love, bro.